This wasn't just passive spirituality. He wasn't just going to the temple because it was expected of him. No, he pursued God. He wanted to know all that he could about God. He pursued God. This young man made a deliberate choice to pursue God with his whole heart. And when he did so, God blessed him. I want to ask a question this morning. What's the one thing that would happen to you that would question or make you question your faith? You know, we know the story of Job, and I love the story of Job because Job never questioned his faith. His wife did. No offense to the ladies here, but his wife questioned her faith and his faith. But most of us would say that, you know, probably the times that we would feel the most times when we feel that our faith is vulnerable would probably be at times where we're suffering, where maybe we've lost a job. We're like, Lord, why are you doing this to me, Lord? Or maybe it's from when we're facing an illness, we're facing cancer, whether that's illness in our bodies or in the body of someone that we really care for. Or what about going through divorce? Does divorce have a tendency, sometimes it does have a tendency to question your faith? Because many times we think that the greatest danger to our faith is pain. The greatest danger to our faith is times of trouble. But what if I told you that the most dangerous time in your spiritual life is when you're having success? It sounds odd, because don't we pray for success? We want to be successful. We work towards success. The world celebrates success. Scripture teaches us that success is often the most spiritually dangerous place to be. Because think about this, when you're struggling, when you're going through trials, if you're a firm believer in Christ and you believe in prayer and you believe in God's word, what are you doing? You're going to God. You're pouring yourself out to Him. We pray more. We depend on God more. We cry out for help. But when everything's going great, what do? That promotion comes through, right? People are praising you and you think, me. I did that, right? Look what I've done. Well, we're going to meet a king this morning who learned this lesson in the worst way possible. His name was Azariah, though some people might know him as Uzziah. And that's kind of odd. Why would you have two names? Well, Azariah was his given name. When he took the throne, he became Uzziah, which was not uncommon. You would change your name when you take the throne. He was 16 years old when he became king and reigned for 52 years. Now think about that. 16. What were most of us doing when we were 16? You're in high school. You may be like studying for your driver's exam, right? And here is a young man, 16, with the weight of a kingdom on his shoulders. His reign was the second longest reign in Judah's history. And his kingdom will experience some amazing things. There's going to be prosperity. There's going to be military victories. There's going to be buildings, economic boom. He gets the respect of international, especially the Egyptians have pay respect to him. By every worldly measure, Uzziah or Amaziah had it all. But remember, success can be your greatest enemy. There's a verse in 2 Chronicles about Uzziah that haunts me and should haunt every person who's a success at anything they do. It says in 2 Chronicles 26:16, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. We live in a success-obsessed culture. Many times we measure our worth by our achievements. We think God is blessing us because we're successful. And a lot of times that blessing is measured in dollars, right? Or promotions, or Instagram likes. We've bought into this lie that we're successful. If we're successful, we must be spiritual. Now, I want you to know this is not a sermon about where God's trying to make us poor. He wants us to be poor and miserable. No, God loves to bless His people. He wants us to prosper. The issue is not success. The issue is what success does to your heart. Uzziah's story is a warning, but it's also a signpost that points us to Christ. Because Uzziah is going to fail. He's going to fail spectacularly. But Jesus succeeded perfectly. Uzziah, he let his success breed pride in his life. But Jesus, what did he do? He humbled himself. And he maintained that perfect humility, even though Christ had all the authority on heaven and earth, yet he humbled himself. Uzziah and his presumption led him to be separated from God, where Jesus' obedience opens a way for you and I to be in God's presence. So let's dive into Uzziah's life and see how it all began. We need to understand that how success became his enemy and how God blessed this very young king when his heart was in the right place. So 2 Kings 15, verses 1 and 2. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Jeroboam's who we talked about before, of the northern kingdom, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, began to reign. So now we're in the southern kingdom. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. 16 years old. It's remarkable. He didn't just survive as a teenage king. He actually thrived 52 years on the throne. I mean, that's a lifetime of leadership. It's hard for us today to think about that. Think about being on a job for 52 years. Do you know what the average lifespan of a pastor is today? 2.5 years. That's the average. I've been to some of the meetings in the denomination, and they'll say, "So how long have you been at Living Faith?" They say 10 years. They're like, "Oh, 10 years? Yeah." I'm like, I'm not even the longest serving pastor here. I mean, 2.5 years. This king reigned for 52 years. And he reigned through good times. He reigned through times of peace. He reigned through times of war. It wasn't like his kingdom was a cushy place to be. There were times of difficulty. There were times of plenty. Now, what's interesting about Uzziah or Azariah are the meanings of his names. We do that today. You know, my name is Christopher. It means Christ bearer. Hopefully I've lived up to that name. His name, Azariah, means Yahweh has helped. Uzziah, his throne name, means my strength is Yahweh. This was not a self-made successful family. It's in the names. They're saying it's God who makes them successful. Every good thing comes from God above. Now, if your life had to be summarized into one word, what would it be? Would it mean self-made success or something acknowledging that our strength comes from the Lord? Now, how did this king do? How did he do when he started out? In verse 3, we see this. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Now, we're into these kings long enough. You know the temptation that these kings dealt with. The amount of idolatry that was happening, where you have a good king and then you have like four bad kings. The people, we never change. The temptation to follow after idolatry was strong. And you may think, well, okay, so he did what was right in his eyes, just like his father had done. Well, that's good, but he was 16 years old. I have a 16-year-old in my family. I'm thinking, well, first of all, my first thought is, have I done what is right in the eyes of the Lord all the time? But I want my son to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And Uzziah did it. And he did it having more power than anybody else. More power than most of us adults will ever have. He did what was right in God's eyes. What's interesting is remember that Chronicles is another part of the Bible that talks about these kings. If we go to the part in 2 Chronicles 26 that talks about Uzziah, it says in verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. So this was a priest. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So notice the three keys to success here. First of all, he had godly mentorship. Zechariah, a priest, who mentored this young man at 16. And Azariah understood all the visions of God. He understood the scriptures. He understood the Torah. He understood everything that God was telling him. So he had godly mentorship. Zechariah taught him to fear God. There was spiritual discipline. Why? Because he says he sought the Lord. And then there was divine blessing. God made him prosper. That idea of he sought the Lord. This wasn't just passive spirituality. He wasn't just going to the temple because it was expected of him. No, he pursued God. He wanted to know all that he could about God. He pursued God. This young man made a deliberate choice to pursue God with his whole heart. And when he did so, God blessed him. God marvelously, supernaturally blessed him. God didn't do it halfway. He had military victories. He built up fortified cities. Agriculture was prospering. Egypt, as I said, would pay tribute to him. Why? Because he was marvelously helped. I love that. God never does things that are not marvelous. It wasn't that Uzziah was a brilliant strategist. It wasn't that Uzziah was an amazing businessman, had all these ideas. No. Why was he successful? He was successful because he pursued God, and in that process, God blessed him. This is what godly success looks like. When we put God first, when we pursue Him with everything we have, when we remain teachable, and when we acknowledge where our blessings come from, God delights to prosper us. Not always in the way the world might think. I'm not saying that if you do all this that God is going to pour money into your coffers. We have coffers, our bank accounts. Into our bank accounts. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God will bless you in many other ways. And if we sit in the song, we say, you know, the blessings that we have. I mean, I challenge you to sit down, take out a piece of paper, and write out all the blessings that God has given you in your life. And you'll be surprised. But there was one fatal flaw in Uzziah. In 2 Kings 15:4, it says, "Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places." Nevertheless, that word changes everything. Remember, the high places were places of compromise, where there were golden calves set up by Jeroboam I, and the people would go there, and yes, they would worship Yahweh. They would worship God there, but they would also worship other gods. They were mixing Yahweh worship with pagan elements. They were places that people would say, "I love you, God, but you know what? I need to keep my options open. I was thinking about this week. You know, we all have our high places in our lives. Sometimes it's our finances, it's our careers, our relationships, our entertainment. Areas where we say, you know, God, I'm going to serve you here, but I don't know if I can let go of that. And what happens is those compromises became a doorway into the heart of Uzziah for pride to whittle its way in. And this is the turning point in Uzziah's story. The moment when God's greatest blessing becomes the greatest curse. Remember that verse earlier from 2 Chronicles I said that kind of haunts anybody who's successful? Verse 16 of chapter 26, "But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction." See the deadly progression? Success leads to strength, which leads to pride, which leads to destruction. We see it all the time. Now, this wasn't always his character. He started very humble. Remember, he was being led by Zechariah. He was being discipled by a priest who knew God. And Uzziah sought God always. But gradually, the very blessings that God had given him became his spiritual downfall. See, that's why I asked that question at the beginning. When are the times in your life where you're most likely to give up your quiet time with God? Those times when you're successful. Because when I'm struggling, oh, I need my time with God. It's the only way I make it through. But success whispers lies into us. This is what pride does. First, it makes us self-sufficient rather than God-dependent. If in my pride I'm able to say, "I can do this. I can do this." I was just talking to Betty this morning. We were talking. She noticed I was limping a little bit because, you know, God is humbling me sometimes. Because I'm not, it says God's reminding me, I'm not as young as I used to be. I can do some things, but I hurt afterwards. God's reminding me, you know what? I'm the one who gives you the ability to do those things. Don't get prideful. But it makes us want to be self-sufficient. Remember, what was Uzziah's name? What does it mean? My strength is Yahweh. But now what he's thinking is, my strength is me. Second, pride causes us to forget who gave us our success. Remember, when he was seeking God, God made him successful. What pride does, it whispers and says, "Look what you've accomplished. You accomplished it." Third, it leads us to want roles God never wanted us to have. You're going to see, we're going to talk about this in a moment, Uzziah wasn't happy with just being the king. He wanted to be something else. You'll see this in a moment. And fourth thing that what pride does to it, it blinds us to accountability. I'm just going to say this, as this has been on my heart for a while. I mean, I believe our current president has done some amazing things, and I'm so glad he's in office. Boy, I see pride telling him some things and him doing some things with that. And I'm just like, boy, you're ready for a fall. I pray for him. We need to be praying for him because pride is his Achilles heel. Pride is his high place, which is understandable. It happens to every president. You're the highest office in the nation, and it's very easy to be prideful. But what happens is, the fourth thing it does is it blinds us to accountability. We're not accountable to anybody. I mean, think about this. Uzziah had been king for 52 years. But probably at this point, he'd probably been king for at least 40, 45, before we get to where we're going to talk about here in a moment. 45 years. He thought he was the top dog. And when somebody confronts him, what does he do? When people speak truth, pride tells us to be defensive. Now watch how this plays out in Uzziah's life for the rest of verse 16. Verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26 says, "For he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. He entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." Okay, it wasn't that he was in the temple and there was nobody to burn incense. So what he decided to do, he decided to go ahead and do it. You remember the story of Saul, King Saul? He was waiting, he was waiting and waiting and waiting for the prophet to come to sacrifice before they went to battle. So what did he do? He sacrificed himself. Not himself. He sacrificed the animal himself. And then he didn't obey God. And they won, but he didn't obey God because he took all of the animals. And then he comes back. And Samuel says, "What are you doing? What's this bleeding I hear? You should have killed him." He had the king of the Amalekites, and you should have killed him. And so Samuel goes and kills the prophet, or kills the king. It wasn't that. Uzziah intentionally went into the temple to burn incense, which was only something a priest could do. According to God's law in Exodus 30, only priests could burn incense. And Uzziah thought, "I am the most successful king in history. Surely, surely, God's going to want me to burn the incense." And I believe if he said that, he actually thought that made sense. He confused worldly success with spiritual authority. I mean, this happens today. Businessmen think that they're prosperous and that God's blessing them, so they're able to cut some corners. Believe me, I've worked in the business world. I've worked in the finance part of the business world. It's where people cut corners all the time. Ministry leaders who think blessing means there's no accountability that's needed. Parents who think because their kids are successful, they must be doing something right spiritually. Your success, no matter what area it is, does not give you the right to ignore God's boundaries. So what happens? Verse 17. "So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men." They had to be. They're going to confront the king. "And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense.'" You got to understand what the consecration was. In order to enter the temple, to be in the service of the Lord, you had to be consecrated. You had to go through a whole spiritual process. It's this idea, like we do baptism. We don't look at it like that as much anymore, but when you're baptized, you're going in and you're coming out consecrated. consecrated to God. You're choosing to be in God's family. I don't know if you know this, but in Jerusalem, there are mikvahs all over, which is a baptism place, all over the Temple Mount. In order for you to go into the temple, you had to walk through those baths, get wet, in order to get into the temple. You were being purified. So you had to be specially purified to be a priest. And they tell him, get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. 81 priests risking their lives to speak the truth to the king. Understand, they were not doing this because they were mad because of what the king did. They were doing this because they loved the king. Because real love does not allow sin to continue. Real love speaks the truth, even when it is costly. He's the king. He can have them killed. And there are plenty of people who will do the little dirty deed for him. And how does he respond? We'll see that in a moment. But before we get there, I want to remind you of what Scripture says about pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And it's that haughty spirit that makes us not want to be accountable. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So understand, when we walk in pride, we are in direct opposition to God. So how did he respond? Verse 19. Then Uzziah was angry. He was angry because they had the audacity to call out his sin. Now he had a censer in his hand. A censer was the bowl that had the incense in it, the burning incense that was put on the altar to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. Hey, Ed, can you pull up that my title page, the first page? You wonder why I have that picture there? That's Uzziah before and Uzziah after. That's what happened to him because of what he did. He was angry. And that anger revealed his heart. That teachable teenager from long ago who was taught by the priest, who sought God intentionally, his heart was prideful. He was a proud man who thought no one had the right, and how dare they tell him what he can and can't do. And God's response was instantaneous. While he was still angry, while he's still holding the censer on his forehead, leprosy started to occur. And everybody saw it. Unmistakable divine judgment. Because leprosy doesn't happen that quick. As it says in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 26. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. Even Uzziah knew what he had done. The Lord has struck him. He couldn't deny it. You couldn't explain it away. Oh, this is just a mark. No, it doesn't work. It wasn't there, and then it was there. And the priests, they didn't gloat. We told you shouldn't have done that. What are you doing? No, they quickly got him out of the holy place. Because very likely God could have struck him dead, and he would have been just in doing so. And the lasting consequences of this was, in 2 Kings 15:5, it says, and the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the household, governing the people of the land. He could no longer rule. He had to be in his own house, away from his family, and his son had to rule the land. See, the high price he paid was permanent leprosy, no healing, until death. God could have I don't doubt God forgave him. He could have submitted himself to God and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I should have never done this," and God forgave him, but the leprosy did not go away. And this is what I tell people all the time. Listen, you can sin all you want, and you can ask for forgiveness, and it can be forgiven by God, but there are still consequences in this world for your sin. No way around it. Complete isolation, cut off from everybody in the palace. He had no authority anymore. His son was the one who ruled in his place. And probably the worst thing, he was barred from ever entering the temple again. Because he had leprosy. Lepers could not enter the temple. Uzziah wanted access to God by burning the incense, but ended up further than he ever could have been. He wanted to be king and priest, and he lost both because of his pride. In the final assessment, it says in 2 Kings 15, 6-7, "Now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his place." Buried with kings, but dying as a leper. 52 years of blessing overshadowed by one moment of pride. This is tragic. Spiritual pride can overshadow a lifetime of blessings in a single moment. Why does God discipline pride so severely? Well, it was pride that led to Lucifer's fall. It was pride that led Adam and Eve to sin against God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and got them thrown out of the garden. God punishes pride so severely because it could very much lead to even greater destruction. He also punishes pride because he doesn't want us to influence others. He's trying to protect others from our pride. And also to demonstrate holiness, to call us back to dependence on Him and repentance. But God uses even our failures to point us toward His perfect solution. Remember, Uzziah failed spectacularly, but Jesus succeeded perfectly. Uzziah starts humble, becomes proud, sought unauthorized access, tried to combine unqualified offices. He tried to combine priest and king, and ended in judgment and death. But Jesus, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He has authorized access to God now. He is now our prophet, our priest, and our king. And his death brought reconciliation to eternal life. Jesus accomplished perfect humility. Legitimate authority. He had all authority. And he successfully mediated between us and God. The book of Hebrews says, in Hebrews 10:19, says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ," you and I now can enter into the holy places of God. Why? We can be in the presence of God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have confidence, not fear, not uncertainty, confidence to enter God's presence. Hebrews 4:14-16 says this, "Since then we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus understands our weaknesses. He was tempted by pride, yet never sinned. So what does Jesus offer us? He offers us humility over pride, access over separation, grace over judgment, true success. Everything that Uzziah wanted, Jesus has, and he offers it to us freely. Remember, success can be your greatest spiritual enemy. It breeds pride and presumption. So we need to guard against success. No, it's not saying that we can't be successful. We have to guard against success-induced pride. Every blessing comes from God. Any success you have in your life is because of what God has done. We need to remove those high places in our lives, those things that we hang on to that we don't surrender to God. And we need to embrace the humility of Christ. So don't let your achievements become your downfall. Stay humble. Stay dependent. And remember that when we are feeling God's discipline, it flows from His love. He may be protecting us from pride. And remember, we need to remove all the compromises in our lives. All those high places. We need to tear them down. And we need to surrender them to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We just thank you, Father, for these stories of these kings that hit so hard to our very hearts. Father, we just ask that you help us to realize that our success is not our doing, but all good things come from you. Help us, Father, to seek you as Uzziah did as a young man, a young king. Help us, Father, to be willing to be trained, taught by those who are wiser than us in the ways of the Lord. And protect us, Father, from those prideful moments when our hearts start wandering away. Help us to tear down the high places. Give us the strength, Father, to do the right thing, to stay fully devoted to you at all times. I pray this in your name.